This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
Good morning. It is 8:07, 7 minutes after 8 o'clock. WCHL, 69 degrees in Chapel Hill. Partly sunny and rather warm today. Our high temperature today in the low 90s. We should get up above 90 for the first time all year. Tonight, mostly clear with a low of the low 70s. And then tomorrow, even warmer with a high of around 95. Partly sunny tomorrow with a big chance of showers and thunder showers, especially late in the afternoon. Tomorrow night, still 60% chance of rain with a low in the middle 60s. And then temperatures back more down to normal on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday with highs all 3 days in the upper, middle, and upper 80s. Downtown parking in Carborough remains a top priority for Carborough Aldermen. WCHL's Abraham Jaroszewski has more.
The Carborough Board of Aldermen continue to discuss the future of downtown parking Tuesday night, with the board focusing on overnight parking and unbundling near the center of town. Here's Alderman Sammy Slade.
Ultimately, I think we have to base this on the reality of our parking situation and be guided by the vision we have for the ideal, while at the same time balancing the economic development reality of the fact that, you know, a lot of businesses do depend on cars.
The meeting was an extension of a meeting last month where the Alderman mostly focused on town-owned lots. Although the second and fourth meetings of each month are typically designated as workshops without public comment, the board allowed Chip Hoppin to speak as a representative of Southern Rail, a restaurant located right at the entrance of the Carmel Mall parking lot. In his statement, he reiterated talking points from a letter written to the board, including that store owners were displeased with how the management of Carmel Mall was handling their parking lot.
They feel that management at Carmel Mall specifically has been failing all the store owners in the area, and the bar owners specifically, and the people who create an atmosphere for Carborough and bring people into Carborough and make Carborough fun.
Alderman Damon Siles says he thought the joint letter from members of the business community was a wise gesture.
I just want to thank you and your colleagues for writing the letter, in particular in relation to the values that were expressed in that letter around the idea of a collaborative approach to parking in downtown. Really smart, thoughtful letter in that regard, and I appreciated it.
Alderman Slade says he also isn't happy with the actions of Carmel Mall's management.
I've been shocked at how the manager of Carmel Mall misrepresents himself when he says he wishes he would rather not tow, but that he has to guarantee that there's parking, knowing full well that they're towing in the middle of the night when there are no Carmel shops open. It's really a disservice to Carborough, and I know that that's his right to do it, but I think this is wrong.
Carborough Mayor Mark Chilton adds that it's possible people who illegally park their cars overnight are actually making a responsible decision in doing so.
If you think about the people who leave business establishments downtown at 2 a.m., when they choose to walk home instead of driving home, that is a good thing. They give you a parking ticket for leaving your car in downtown Chapel Hill in the parking lot overnight. What are they incentivizing there? That is really not necessarily the best policy.
The board then began to discuss scenarios regarding the unbundling of parking. But after several minutes, members of town staff were unable to say for sure whether the town's land use ordinance would have to be changed for unbundling to occur. Unbundling takes place when residents do not require each dwelling to be assigned a parking space. That way, those who choose to drive are paying for the right to do so instead of the cost being passed down to all occupants, as well as encouraging alternate forms of transportation. The board instructed town staff to relay their findings on the matter at a later meeting. Abraham Jaroszewski, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Again, Carolina's baseball team going to the College World Series in Omaha, Nebraska. They will start play on Sunday. Carolina rallied yesterday with 3 runs in the 6th inning to come from behind and beat South Carolina 5-4 and earn that trip to the College World Series. A full recap on the game and a conversation with UNC head baseball coach Mike Fox coming up in just a few minutes on WCHL Championship Sports. With Moral Monday protests continuing and gaining steam, local leaders have been outspoken about their support, rallying against recent legislation coming out of the State General Assembly. Orange County Commissioner Bernadette Pelissier has been in attendance at several protests. She says what's going on inside the state legislature makes it important for our local community leaders to speak out.
I think it sends a message to the public that they really care about what happens to the citizens, not just of our town, our county, but also our state.
Carrboro Mayor Mark Chilton was the very first person arrested at last week's demonstration. Carrboro Alderman Damon Siles, Michelle Johnson, Sammy Slade, and Chapel Hill Town Council member Donna Bell all were arrested. A Facebook page with more than 700 members was created to mobilize local residents to make the trek to Raleigh to participate in the protest. Mayor Chilton has been a visible presence on that social media site, on this page and on his own page. Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools Board of Education members Mia Burrows and James Barrett also have joined the effort. Both were at the protest on Monday. Here's Mia Burrows.
Orange County certainly has an amazing progressive tradition, all the way going back to the protests against the speakers bans, all the way back several decades ago. So I'm not the least bit surprised. We're leaders in this kind of thing.
Orange County Commissioners Penny Rich and Mark Dorison have also attended the demonstrations, as well as Senator Ellie Kinnaird, who represents Orange and Chatham counties. Local leaders have said they will continue supporting the protests as long as the movement continues or until the state government leaders begin to listen. The NAACP and other activists will gather in Raleigh today for Witness Wednesday. It's an event commemorating the 50th anniversary of the assassination of civil rights activist Medgar Evers. Now, this is in addition to all the Moral Mondays festivities. The event today is set to start at 10 o'clock at the Davies Street Presbyterian Church in Raleigh and then travel down the street for a news conference in front of the General Assembly. Witness Wednesday is part of the civil rights group's greater efforts to protest recent legislation passed and proposed by the North Carolina legislature. The NAACP also plans to announce details regarding the Forward Together voter registration campaign, launching today as well. The North Carolina state government budget, penned by House Republicans, remained largely intact. After several hours of committee debate yesterday, the House Appropriations Committee had heard and voted on more than 30 amendments on the chamber's two-year spending plan by Tuesday afternoon. The chamber's largest committee rejected changes that would have removed an initiative to provide scholarships for low-income students to attend private and religious schools. The panel also defeated an effort to prevent $10 million to compensate living victims of the state's former sterilization program. Another amendment, narrowly defeated, would have ended giving in-state rates to out-of-state academic scholarship recipients to University of North Carolina system campuses. Committee members were likely to recommend the bill later yesterday. The full House is scheduled to vote on the budget today and again tomorrow. North Carolina senators are pushing a new tax reform plan that does not add new sales taxes to services and eventually repeals local taxes on food. Senate leader Phil Berger unveiled a tax reform plan yesterday that marks a dramatic shift from an earlier proposal. The new proposal gradually eliminates corporate tax rates and goes back on a proposal to expand sales taxes to about 100 new services. Democrats questioned how Republicans who hold the Senate will be able to pay for billions in tax cuts without severely impacting services. The plan is the latest in a series of proposals from House and Senate Republicans to reform what is sometimes considered an outdated tax system. The new plan heads for a committee vote today. North Carolina Senate expanding on a House bill that opens new areas for concealed permit holders to carry or store weapons in the state. A Senate Judiciary Committee endorsed a bill yesterday allowing any permit holder to store a weapon in a locked car at any public school or university. The House version applies only to public universities. The Senate's changes also would allow permit holders to carry weapons at parades and funeral processions. Both bills would allow permit holders to carry weapons at restaurants. University of North Carolina police chiefs and some senators have questioned the wisdom of expanding guns to new areas. Supporters of the bill say concealed carry holders are the most responsible gun owners. The bill now heads to the state Senate. WCHL Newstime, 8:16, 16 minutes after 8 o'clock. Carolina baseball coach Mike Fox coming up in just a few minutes. Time now for Traffic and Weather Together. And this traffic report is presented by Grimble Jewelers. Go see Berkeley Grimble if you need something really simple like a new watch battery, or if you've had your eye on an engagement ring or a special custom piece of jewelry you've been dreaming of, Berkeley can create it for you. Grimble Jewelers is always there for you. Chapel Hill's premier full-service jeweler in the Village Plaza next to Whole Foods. Well, the traffic has been moving along considerably well this morning. Some of the usual delays beginning to stack up, but nothing really out of the ordinary so far. And we will have an update coming up for you again in just a few minutes. If you spot anything out of the ordinary, any unusual delays or traffic jams or accidents, then call us in the newsroom, 919-967-8363. But right now, things are relatively good this morning. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carrboro weather brought to you this morning by Southern Rail, an eclectic mix Progressive Restaurant, the Station Bar and Beer Garden, and the Tiger Room. Southern Rail in the heart of downtown Carrboro. 69 degrees still this morning. It's stuck there. Partly sunny skies today. High today, low 90s. Tonight, mostly clear with a low in the low 70s. Tomorrow, partly sunny, showers and thunderstorms likely this afternoon. Very hot, or tomorrow, I should say. Very hot with a high about 95 or 96. Chance of rain is 60%. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy, showers and thunderstorms likely with a low in the middle 60s. Chance of rain is 60%. Then Friday and Saturday, sunny skies both days, highs in the low 80s, lows at night in the upper 50s. And on Sunday, a partly cloudy day with a high in the middle 80s. So pretty good weather, but it's really going to be hot coming up this weekend. Where was all this sunshine when the Tar Heels were trying to play baseball at home? Now we got to worry about the weather in Omaha. That story coming up in just a moment.
Wake up every morning with one of Chapel Hill's leading action adults, Ron Stutz in the Morning News. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Good morning. It is 8:18 at WCHL, 18 minutes after 8 o'clock. And Carolina baseball coach Mike Fox is on the line with us now. And Mike, I'm sure that worrying about the weather in Omaha is the least thing that's on your mind this morning. I know you have to be exhilarated with the way things worked out yesterday, and you guys are on your way back to the College World Series.
Yeah, well, actually worrying about weather in North Carolina is the least of my worries this weekend.
Yeah, isn't it a nice, refreshing change?
Yeah, none of us are going to be here, so it's so exciting to be going back to the College World Series. Just so thrilled for my players and assistant coaches and our staff, and we had to grind it out this past weekend and just delay a couple of days of delay with the weather, but we got it done yesterday. An exciting game and going back again.
You guys were true to form yesterday, grinding out as you mentioned, and coming from behind again to win the game against South Carolina 5-4 and earn a trip to Omaha, the sixth time in the last 8 years. And by surviving this super regional, you get to travel halfway across the country to face rival North Carolina State in the first action on Sunday afternoon out in Omaha, Nebraska. What is it about this team, Coach, that they just won't lose? They just won't allow themselves to get beaten.
Well, that's a good way to put it. We just it wasn't really pretty at times, and but they just have a real inner belief that they're gonna come out on top at the end, and they just kind of keep playing. And it's a fun team just to be around, to be in the dugout. And, again, I think all the wins that we had throughout the season just kept building confidence. And I thought this team was special from the very beginning. We got some really, really good leaders on the team. And our three seniors are just really, really well liked and well respected. And our players, I think, were really kind of fighting for them. And, Cody Stubbs in particular is one of our seniors who's just had a sensational season after a subpar junior year, and he's a transfer, so he wasn't here in 2011, and he was just so excited yesterday because he told me several times all he's really wanted to do in baseball is just, play in Omaha, and he's going to get a chance to do that. So seeing the look on those kids' faces yesterday is just, that's what coaching's all about.
Coach, I guess you have to take a moment to think about the crowd. I mean, the fans have had every adversity to overcome as well. They've been affected by the weather greatly. Some making plans to be here from out of town had to stay a couple of extra days. And, the Super Regional not wrapping up until last night. What do you have to say about the fan support for the Tar Heels?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that. And I'd made myself a note right before I called you, to do just that, because our fans really, really helped us the last couple of weeks. They helped us in Durham. They helped us in the regionals. They helped us in the super regionals. And, I didn't really know what to expect with a 12 o'clock Tuesday game. And, when they postponed the game Monday night, and because I thought we would have a terrific crowd on Monday night at 7 o'clock. They postponed it till yesterday, and I'm thinking, boy, what's that going to do to the crowd? And that we had the place packed. They were into it, and they really, really helped us. Our kids were commenting about it, and it made a big difference. There's no question about that.
Well, you won't have quite as much time to rest as you normally would have because of the extension of that Super Regional. What are your plans as far as logistics are concerned in getting this team ready for competition at the College World Series?
Yeah, gosh, I mean, I don't know if you can hear it in my voice, but I'm wiped out this morning, and we leave in 24 hours, so we've got a charter flight at 11 a.m. Tomorrow, and we've never had this before where you have such a quick turnaround, so we're going to really scramble today. We met after the game and have to do the flight manifest, and it's a lot of logistics, you know, to get a number of people out there and get them on the charter. So we'll get it all done. It's not complaining. Don't misunderstand me. These are all good problems to have. So we've sort of got it figured out by now, but we'll head out there Thursday. And now that they pushed our bracket back to Sunday, that'll give us some time to catch our breath out there as well.
Well, Coach, we have talked about the struggles the Tar Heels have been through and somehow overcoming all the adversity. And I think it was Art Chansky who said earlier today, and you will hear his report coming up in just a few minutes here, his take on the game. I think it was Art who said that if the Tar Heels can get all the bats working and the pitching back to the way we were at the peak of the season for performance, then watch out. Carolina might win this whole thing.
Well, that's our goal. You know, I mean, that's our goal. I mean, everybody out there is good now. So you know, there's such a fine margin, you know, between winning and losing, as we all know. But, we're gonna just enjoy, you know, planning, you know, to get out there today, and the kids will be excited. And we get out there, we're gonna go to work. We got a tough draw, obviously, you know, and our brackets, well, both sides of the bracket are really good, but you never know. Anybody can win it when you get out there, but we're certainly going to do our best.
Well, when you travel that far and you play in the College World Series, you might not expect to face somebody who's your neighbor, but you're going to be playing an opponent on Sunday you're very familiar with. You played before this season, North Carolina State. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's going to be exciting, certainly, and it is a little unusual. And you know, when the brackets come out and all that, you look at it, but you really don't, because you don't know if you're going to get to that point. You don't know if what other teams are going to get to that point. But it's going to be great for the state of North Carolina. It's going to be really, really good for the ACC. You know, in a perfect world, we would be in different brackets, you know, to get our league even more of a chance, you know, to move forward, because everybody keeps throwing out this 55-year drought, you know, we've had. So, they're a really good team, and we'll have our hands full with them.
Well, Coach, I just want to express this on behalf of all the Carolina baseball fans that I've talked to and have seen their comments and heard their comments. So many people in this community and all over Tar Heel Nation are so excited about what this Tar Heel baseball team has been able to do, and following you just avidly all season long. Thank you so much for all the excitement you provided us with this season. And everybody is looking forward to seeing what you guys do in Omaha, and hopefully we'll bring home all of it, the whole championship.
That would be great. I'm just trying to keep up with all these other coaches in our athletic department to keep winning national championships at an incredible rate. Baseball needs to catch up with the Jenny Levy's and the Anson Dorrances of the world. So I've been truly blessed with this team, and we're going to go out there and play as hard as we can.
Pretty amazing place to be, isn't it, the university?
Absolutely.
Also, I have said this before, but ladies and gentlemen, Mike Fox has taken a good Carolina baseball program and turned it into a great one, always a national contender. And, Coach, good luck this weekend.
Hey, thank you, Ron. It's always good to talk to you.
All right, you too. Carolina head baseball coach Mike Fox on the way to Omaha, Nebraska. You heard him say they're going to leave in about 24 hours to go out there, and it will be exciting. There's no question. First game Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock, and we will have it for you right here on WCHL and also streaming live at our website at chapelbro.com. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to bring you the recap of the game in our next newscast at the bottom of the hour, just a few minutes. We want to hear from Art, and I wanted to get in one note about basketball from last night. Former Carolina favorite Danny Green listened to his coach last night and kept on shooting, shaking up a humiliating blowout for the biggest game in San Antonio since 2007. Blaming on the gridlock that made Tim Duncan and Tony Parker late to the AT&T Center, the Spurs last night kept giving LeBron James fits in the NBA Finals, and ran away to a 2-1 series lead over the Miami Heat. They won last night 113-77. Feel confident, let them fly, get your name in the paper. That's what Spurs coach Greg Popovich told Danny Green and also Gary Neal, who were both deadly from outside. Green scored 27 points last night. I believe he was 8 of 10 from three-point range. And at the end of the game, I'll just bet that Danny Green was dancing on the sidelines the way he used to do it when he was in a Tar Heel uniform. Danny Green's doing well these days. He's in the starting lineup for the Spurs, and outside shooting is just one of the reasons why. So good luck to Danny Green and the San Antonio Spurs in the NBA Finals. 8:27 at WCHL. We're going to get back to baseball now at WCHL and find out what Mr. Chansky has to say.
Our Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
What pressure, what a game, and Destiny's Children are still alive. This is Art Chansky with Wednesday Sports Notebook. It was worth the wait of getting through one rainstorm and a tornado that never came. The Super Regional Final between the hometown Tar Heels and the Chickens from down south did not disappoint. Carolina may not have its hitting and pitching completely back together, but its character and heart are still intact and got them through this one for sure. South Carolina outscored UNC 16-8 in the three games, but the Tar Heels won two of them thanks to their refusal to quit and Gamecock miscues catching up with them. Bunting themselves out of two big innings by failing to move the runners up, making a humongous throwing error that allowed the tying run to score, and walking three straight batters in light blue to force in the decisive run. Carolina needed all a mishap to pick up senior center fielder Chaz Frank, who inexplicably dropped a pretty routine fly ball that allowed two Gamecocks to score and take a 3-2 lead. The home team had gone up earlier after South Carolina hit shortstop Michael Russell with two outs, another costly blunder, and then catcher Brian Hoberton brought him in with a towering, majestic homer into the right field trees. It was only UNC's second home run in both regional rounds for a team that had hit 47 during the regular season. Trailing 4-2, the Tar Heels made some things happen in the sixth with lots of help from the Garnet Chickens. Their first baseman, Carl Martin, tipped a line drive by Colin Moran that might have curved foul, and the triple scored Landon Lassiter. After Sky Bolt was hit by a pitch, Cody Stubbs' lazy fly to shallow left was not deep enough for Moran to tag up and go home. But South Carolina pitcher Adam Westmoreland cut off the throw and tried to nail Bolt, who had tagged up from first, and fired the ball into center field, scoring Moran to tie the game. Then two Gamecock pitchers promptly walked three straight heels to force in Bolt with the game-winning run. And in the ninth, when Scott Forbes called on Kent Emanuel to get the last two outs, South Carolina didn't even wait to see if the big lefty was still struggling. Swinging at the first two pitches that produced easy outs, the traditional pig pile at the pitcher's mound, and UNC's sixth trip to the College World Series in 8 years. Congratulations, guys, for having the pluck and character to pull it out. Next comes NC State and Hawk. Yikes. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Tallulah's Turkish Restaurant. It's half off. Dinner or lunch available now. Come visit Tallulah's, a local family-owned restaurant on Franklin Street, and take a culinary journey with fresh, healthy food. With today's deal, get $20 of lunch for $10 or $40 towards dinner for $20. Enjoy a varied selection of hot and cold small plates and delectable grilled lamb and other meats as the flavors and atmosphere whisk you away to turkey. It's half off from Tallulah's. It's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
It's bottom of the hour at WCHL. Your Chapel Hill Carborough weather looks like this. 70 degrees right now. Partly sunny. It's going to warm up quite a bit. High today about 92 or 93. Tonight mostly clear with a low in the low 70s. And tomorrow it's going to get up to 95 with a big chance of rain.
Local news all day. Breaking news whenever it happens. This is 97.9 FM. WCHL. Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett. It's not easy to get a handle on the Colorado wildfires.
We are still at zero containment. We've had a couple opportunities to fly over. We know there are structures damaged.
That's El Paso County Sheriff Terry Makita. Could be up to 6 homes that have been burned. Helicopters and today maybe cargo aircraft could be used to fight the flames near Colorado Springs.
This fire is about 8,000 acres in size. At least that's what it's burned already. And fire officials tell us that as many as 60 homes have burned and that one school is likely damaged, if not completely destroyed by this fire.
That's KCNC TV reporter Kelly Worthman.
So we're on the west side of the fire. We're watching the plume of smoke just continue to grow and move with the winds that are continuing to gust here.
More than 6,400 people evacuated in Colorado. Now they sit and wait.
I'm not sure if my house is lost. I just don't know.
CBS News Update. I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech Community College. Want a head start on college or career skills? A great opportunity awaits you at Durham Tech. Online at durhamtech.edu.
You're listening to 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. Now, back to the WCHL Morning News with Ron Stutz.
Good morning. It's 8:32, 28 minutes until 9 o'clock at WCHL. We have 71 degrees in Chapel Hill this morning, already warming up. A lot of sunshine today. High today in the low 90s, and some mugginess will ensue in the next 24 hours. It's going to be a muggy day tomorrow with a high all the way up to about 95 or 96. Either way, we're going to surpass 90 for the first time in 2013. Well, things heated up yesterday at Bashammer Stadium. UNC's baseball team rallied with a 3-run sixth inning to edge South Carolina 5-4 and earn a trip to the College World Series for the sixth time in the last 8 years. By surviving the Super Regional, the top-seeded Tar Heels will travel halfway across the nation to face rival North Carolina State this Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock in Omaha. WCHL's Rachel Nash was at the Bosch yesterday, and she has a recap on what happened.
From center field, Russell throws to second base, and it's Omaha for Carolina.
Doesn't really matter how you get there. You know, it's baseball's a tough game. You never know how it's going to go, and at the end of the day, we're going, so that's the most important thing. I just can't remember some of the other ways we got there. I mean, I do, but this one's sweet. This one's very special.
That's UNC head coach Mike Fox giving his take on the Heels heading to Omaha. But it was Colin Moran's RBI triple that sparked the comeback to give the Heels the victory, scoring Landon Lassiter to cut the South Carolina lead to 1.
Well, that's not a 200 stroke. That's a 1,000% stroke. Down the right field sideline, and it kicks around past Brighton right field. Lassiter's going to come in to score. Moran, he's into third. He'll slide for good measure, and he'll put the Tar Heels down by just a run.
A throwing error by Gamecock pitcher Adam Westmoreland allowed Moran to score the tying run.
Westmoreland cuts it off, throws back towards second to try to get Bolt. The throw is into center field, and Moran, he's tied the game. 4-4.
Westmoreland, who had hit Sky Bolt with a pitch, then walked catcher Brian Holberton and second baseman Mike Zolt to load the bases. He was replaced by lefty Tyler Webb, who took the left fielder Parks Jordan to a full count before walking him on an inside pitch to force Bolt in with what proved to be the winning run. The Tar Heels shut out the Gamecocks in their last three at-bats, with lefty ace Kent Emmanuel coming in to nail down the save by getting the last two outs in the ninth on just two pitches.
It didn't matter if I would have given up 20 runs or thrown a perfect game. It's always going to be the same. You know, I'm there to compete against the batter and get him out. And, you know, it really doesn't factor into how I pitch, what happens before.
Trent Thornton notched the win, allowing one earned run over 4 2/3 innings after relieving starter Benton Moss in the third. South Carolina took an early lead with a run in the second, but Holberton blasted a 2-run homer over the right field fence in the bottom of the second.
The pitch to Holberton, slapped hard into right field. It's drifting, it's carrying, it's out of here.
The Gamecocks regained the lead in the fifth when Tar Heel center fielder Chaz Frank dropped a fly ball, allowing 2 runs to score. The visitors from the Southeastern Conference added a single run in the top half of the sixth, setting up the dramatic rally to follow. Carolina improved to 57-10 on the year, while the Gamecocks finished their season at 43-20. The Tar Heels are expected to face NC State ace left-handed pitcher Carlos Rodon in their College World Series opener Sunday at 3 p.m. Rachel Nash, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
In other news this morning on WCHL, we can tell you that there's something very important going on with the Rogers Road neighborhood. They have been meeting a lot to take care of water and sewage problem. And the Rogers Eubanks Neighborhood Association will hold another meeting today, 4 p.m., on new municipal sewage and water options for the neighborhood that the group serves. Minister Robert Campbell, president of the association, as well as a representative of the Rogers Road Mitigation Task Force, says one of the key elements of any water plan and considered is affordability.
There have been several options that have been put on the table. So we are going to try to confirm which option that works best for this area and how can we do it in a way that it does not price the resident out of their home.
Minister Campbell says deals to secure water and sewage treatment in the area also have to include additional provisions on districting, giving the neighborhoods unique geographical position.
Some people know and some don't that we are in the jurisdiction of three municipalities. So legally, they have to have some way to pool their funds together to resolve the issue.
Ever since the Orange County Regional Landfill was put in the Rogers Eubanks neighborhood area back in the early 70s, community members have pushed for sustainability and safety programs in that area. To do this, Minister Campbell says association members go to board meetings at each of the three municipalities that they're under. Especially, it's important to do that at a time like this when cities are passing their budgets.
If you talk about revitalization of community, infrastructure has to be put in place. When you talk about the safety environment of community that don't have sidewalks, don't have street lights, all these things are important if you're talking about the health and safety of a community.
With a neighborhood in different jurisdictions, Minister Campbell describes the difficulty in getting the construction they need, giving the example of a municipality only building a sidewalk on its section but nowhere else, leaving it incomplete.
It's an ongoing task for us to have our voices heard in all the different chambers.
The Rogers Road Mitigation Task Force was charged to make recommendations to the various municipalities the neighborhood is under and was almost disbanded early this year, but was later given an extension until July 24th. Today's meeting will take place at 4 o'clock this afternoon at the Solid Waste Administrative Offices on Eubanks Road in Chapel Hill. Well, again, Carolina in the College World Series, they will play Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. We'll have it for you right here on WCHL and streaming live on our website at chapelbrough.com. Stay tuned throughout the day for more details on Carolina, and also go to our website, chapelbrough.com, for a litany of stories there. You can also hear that interview we had just a few minutes ago with Carolina baseball coach Mike Fox and superfan Tom Jensen. Let's switch gears altogether this morning. Anu Kumar is Executive Vice President to Development, Communications, and Community Access at IPASS. Dr. Kumar, thank you for being here this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Tell everybody, people who may have been hiding under a rock, what is IPASS and what does it do?
Well, IPASS, which is based right here in Chapel Hill, is a global organization that works exclusively on promoting women's reproductive health and rights, especially the right to safe abortion care. And we are interested in reducing the number of women who are dying and suffering due to unsafe abortions.
Now, you have joined IPASS about 10 years ago, 11
yes,
years ago?
That's right.
After you were, for 7 years, senior program officer in the population and reproductive health area of the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation. Boy, that's a mouthful. And you have overseen grants to organizations working in India and to international organizations. And you've got a lot of other interesting things in your background. But why are you so excited to be working with IPASS?
You know, IPASS is making a real difference in women's lives all over the world. I'm really proud to be associated with it. Just in the last 5 years alone, we've trained over 40,000 health workers around the world on safe abortion care. And in 1 year, more than 200,000 women have received safe services in IPASS-supported facilities around the world. So, you know, for me, it's the ability to make a really tangible difference in women's lives right here from Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
Well, this is a special year because IPASS is celebrating its 40th anniversary, and I understand there are many special events planned to commemorate this. Tell us about some of those.
Yeah, it is our 40th year. We have been steadfast and unwavering in our commitment to our mission in all of these 40 years. So we are celebrating by having several events around the world since we are a global organization. We had an event in Nairobi in April, which was widely attended by partners and our supporters there. I was had the ability to attend that event and found it really exciting. We're having an event in Chapel Hill this week, bringing in one of our keynote speakers, which will be Willie Parker, who is a physician that provides abortion services in Mississippi. And then we'll also be having an event in India in the fall, which is where I'm from. And so it's going to be exciting to see the work that we have done in each of these countries to really advance women's reproductive health and rights.
It sounds as if you've been involved in this kind of work for most of your adult life, certainly. Why is it so important for you to do this?
You know, it's fundamental for women's advancement and really the advancement of communities and nations that women are able to control their fertilities. By being able to control our reproductive destinies, women can determine their futures, our families, and really the health of a community and a nation. So for me, it's just absolutely critical that women have this ability to choose when, if, to have children or not. And I think the operative word is to really be able to make those choices and those decisions autonomously. So I actually see it as a fundamental building block to democracy, to development, and to a whole host of other bigger ideals by working on this one specific issue.
Now, I understand that you work with a lot of Triangle-based local organizations and organizations really around the world, but some of those local folks include Lillian's List, Planned Parenthood, IntraHealth, NARAL, and the Carolina Abortion Fund, especially this time with the North Carolina legislature having so many controversial things happening. It's very important to be at the top of your game.
It is, and we're so grateful to our partners who are really working on a daily basis in the North Carolina State Legislature. You know, one thing I really want to stress is our global work at IPASS shows me firsthand what it means to limit access to safe services. And what we're seeing in the United States is a limitation of those services. When you reduce access to services to safe abortion care, you endanger women's lives. So I think it's just that simple, and our partners understand that, whether you're in India or whether you're in a small town in North Carolina, the reduction, the limitation of women's access to safe abortion care is a life-threatening issue.
Now, if someone wants to find out more about the 40th anniversary celebration or about IPASS in general, what do they do?
Well, I'd recommend they visit our website, www.ipass.org. We have a wealth of information there available for on a range of issues, and I hope people will take the time to see what's happening by this small but growing organization right here in our backyard.
Dr. Anu Kumar, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me, Ron.
It is 8:44 at WCHL, 16 minutes until 9 o'clock. This is Ron Stutz. Good morning.
Now on WCHL, a page from D.G. Martin's notebook.
50 years ago, on the morning of June 12, 1963, a few hours after President Kennedy had given a speech supporting civil rights, but down in Jackson, Mississippi, the head of the Mississippi NAACP was pulling into his driveway after an early meeting with the organization's lawyers, and he was carrying a bunch of T-shirts that said, "Jim Crow must go." It sort of reminds me of the present-day activist head of the North Carolina NAACP, William Barber. But this morning, 50 years ago, was to end in tragedy, with Evers shot in the back and dying less than an hour later. The killer, Byron Della Beckwith, a fertilizer salesman and member of the White Citizens Council, was arrested within days. He wasn't convicted of murder until 1994. Well, Carolina professor and Mississippi native Minrose Gwynn has spent much of her professional life researching and writing and speaking about Evers' life, death, and the writings of others about this man. Her wonderful novel, The Queen of Palmyra, is set in her home state during the times around the Evers assassination. It reminds us of the now almost unbelievable conditions brought about by the Jim Crow legal and social systems that controlled life in our region. Her brand new book, Remembering Medgar Evers, Writing the Long Civil Rights Movement, is a collection and commentary on the written reactions and evaluations of Evers' life and death from local newspapers' cursory treatment, the local black newspapers' cursory treatment, because that black editor had to sell his ads to white segregation businessmen, to a great song by Bob Dylan. As UNC Press wrote about the new book, here it goes from the press, Professor Gwynn engages the powerful body of work that has emerged in response to Evers' life and death. Fiction, poetry, memoir, drama, songs from James Baldwin, Margaret Walker, Eudora Welty, Lucille Clifton, Bob Dylan, and Willie Morrison and others. Gwynn examines local news accounts about Evers' 1960s gospel and protest movement, as well as contemporary hip-hop, the haunting poems of Frank X. Walker, contemporary fiction such as The Help, and, of course, Gwynn's own novel, The Queen of Palmyra. Press continues, in this study, Evers springs to life as a leader of plural singularity. Those are Gwynne's words, who modeled for the Southern African Americans a new form of cultural identity that both drew from the past and broke from it. To quote Gwendolyn Brooks, he leaned across tomorrow. Well, thanks to Monroe's Gwynne for giving us this important, poignant way to remember this brave and important man, Medgar Evers, on the 50th anniversary of his death. This is D.G. Martin.
It's 8:47, 13 minutes until 9 o'clock at WCHL. Coming up, Ellie Kinnaird has today's commentary. That'll be followed by What You're Saying in the Street on WCHL.
This is David Huntoon of Coleman Huntoon & Brown, your local CPAs and advisors. You've heard the phrase, taxes and death are certain, but not so certain is how your estate will be handled after your passing. Let us help you set up a properly structured and strategic estate plan that enables you to achieve your life goals and strengthen the financial security for your loved ones.
To find out more, talk to Coleman Huntoon & Brown, where our people make the difference. Find us online at chbcpas.com.
2 hours. That's all it takes to change a life. Dedicate 2 hours a week to the Blue Ribbon Mentor Advocate Program. You can make a difference in the life of a kid like me. My mentor helps me make good grades and make good life decisions. Just 2 hours of your time could really help another student make it to graduation. For more information, contact Blue Ribbon Mentor Advocate at 918-2170. Thanks WCHL for supporting Blue Ribbon Mentor Advocate Program and kids like me.
Have you noticed ads recently from other jewelry stores trying to sound like Diamonds Direct? Promoting a huge selection of diamonds straight from the cutters, huge buying power, and designer engagement rings. Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, I suppose. But listen, it's not about the ads. It's about what happens in the store. And the truth is, nobody can compete with Diamonds Direct. The diamond selection is up to 20 times what you find elsewhere. And the diamonds are not on a computer screen. They're real, right in front of you, as many as you like, so you can buy smart. And while others promise to match prices, Diamonds Direct guarantees to beat anybody's price, not just here, but anywhere in America on a comparable diamond. And let me assure you, nobody can come close to Diamonds Direct in world connections, expert guidance, diamond education, product warranties, and customer guarantees. Yeah, the ads may be similar, but the experience is still worlds apart. Diamonds Direct Crabtree, North Carolina's direct diamond importer, on Glenwood outside Crabtree Valley Mall across from Fleming's.
Ron Stuntz in the morning and progressive talk all day. This is 97.9 FM WCHL.
Good morning. It is 8:49, 11 minutes until 9 o'clock at WCHL.
And now WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Ellie Kinnaird. I appreciate WCHL's hosting the commentators, where community members share their opinions and viewpoints. They are always interesting and informative. But I was startled to hear last week's commentary that connected an unnamed religion to terrorism. The commentator listed several terrorist attacks and ended by saying the perpetrators had all one thing in common. They shared a religion. While the religion was not mentioned, he obviously meant Islam, since all the attacks the commentator described were committed by Muslims, and some had stated their anti-Western violent intentions. His unnamed conclusion? Islam is a dangerous religion that urges all believers to hate Americans, to commit acts of terrorism, and Muslims should cause fear in all of us. There have been mass killings at schools, retail stores, parking lots, daycare facilities, a Sikh temple by a person who mistakenly thought they were Muslim, even police departments, all of which were carried out by homegrown Americans, some of whom, statistically presumably, might have had a connection with Christianity. We do know they have all been committed by white males, except for one Chinese person in Virginia. So should we all be afraid of young white males because most of the carnage in this country has been perpetrated by them? But beyond that, the commentator's logic is seriously flawed. There are 1.3 billion Muslims in the world. If they wanted to take us out, it would be simple. The fact is that, like people of all religions, 99% of Muslims are peaceful, law-abiding people just trying to make a living, bringing up their children, and with the hope to contribute to making the world a better place. But the big question is, what does the commentator propose should be done about the problem he believes exists? This is Ellie Kinnaird.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators. Local people, local issues on 97.9 FM. WCHL. What You're Saying on the Street. Presented by ISIS IT. What You're Saying on the Street.
I'm Michael Pepich. Chapel Hill and Carrboro have opposed big box retail, but what do the shoppers want? We hit the streets to find out what you think.
Karen Gherkin, Chapel Hill. You know, as much as I like the good deals they have, I think we have enough big box stores around the area right now. You know, I like to support local business as well, so having a good balance between the two would probably be ideal.
Frank DeGraffery in Ridgefield would be a lot more helpful. And the ones that they do have, you got to go so far to get to them.
Heather Noor, Carrboro. Oh, I don't like the idea of that. I like the smaller stores. I like to support small local businesses.
Jeff Walling, Mebane. I think there's enough already.
How would you feel about more stores like Walmart or Target in Orange County?
Frank Rigsby, shopper here, would love it because I can afford to go there. So if I got them around, with this other stuff I can't afford to just look and I see a window shop.
First name's Rick, last name is Hagen. I live in Chapel Hill. I would not be in favor of it. One is crowding linked to having, you know, that dense of a population. Number two, the threat to small businesses in the community.
Paul Crosha, Chapel Hill. No, it's too many college kids.
Alice Crabtree. I live in Chapel Hill. I really think they should. I think that would bring them a lot more business because they're losing so much of the high retail.
Angela Moore, Chapel Hill. I think that's a great idea because I have to go to Durham now when I go to the mall or when I go to Walmart.
That's What You're Saying on the Street. On 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel Station. What You're Saying on the Street, presented by ISIS IT. Managed IT solutions to fit your needs. Find out how they can save you money at IGotFixed.com.
Betty Davis famously said, getting old is not for sissies. What she didn't say is that dealing with aging loved ones is no easy task either. HomeWatch Caregivers gives you the support you need for your loved ones. From simple companionship to comprehensive personal care, its trained staff gives you peace of mind. You can relax knowing your family member is well taken care of. HomeWatchCaregivers.com or call 919-960-6038. HomeWatch Caregivers. Let our family care for yours.
For more than 20 years, the Kennedy Dental Group has established an unbeatable standard of diagnosis, treatment, and dental care for patients at their University Square office. Doctors Jeff Kennedy, a 1984 UNC graduate, Richard Wagner, and newest partner Leland Webb have more than 100 years of experience and continue to be recognized locally in the best dentist category. They look forward to their upcoming relocation to the iconic former WCHL building at the bottom of East Franklin Street. Visit KennedyDentalGroup.com to learn more.
I moved here a few years ago and discovered UNC Family Medicine. I love that the doctors are up to date on the latest medical developments. I love the easy parking. And most of all, I love that my husband and my kids also go to UNC Family Medicine. The reassurance of knowing they are available by email or by phone, plus the knowledge they are among the best family medicine departments in the country, means I have peace of mind about our health care.
Find out more at uncfamilymedicine.org. UNC Family Medicine is caring for the course of your life.
Time for a quiz. What Chapel Hill Group is investing in our local environment by buying carbon offsets, planting new trees, and ensuring toxic elements don't get into our water supply? And what Chapel Hill Group generously donates to hundreds of local social causes every day of every week of every year? The answer? Chapel Hill's business community. Surprised? You shouldn't be. Local business owners understand that commerce plus social equity plus environmental stewardship equals community. Commerce Plus in Chapel Hill. Find out more at opentobusiness.biz.
It's 8:55, 5 minutes until 9 o'clock at WCHL. You remember the word of the day from Wayne Pond? It's actually two words today. But what is it? Call me right now, 919-929-WCHL. Tell me the word, the spelling, and the definition, and I'll give you a $10 gift card to Cruisers. It's all brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else? Your number to call right now, 919-929-WCHL.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Max Harrell is an extraordinary volunteer for Paws Forever.
I have three large dogs that I wanted to get trained, so I trained in their fabulous training center, and then I started assisting, not training, and then they needed help doing events, and then they needed help doing work at the resale store, and 3 years later, I'm now the volunteer store manager.
Max Harrell is today's WCHL hometown hero. What about the resale store in Hillsboro?
We carry everything from jewelry to furniture, and we even have some pet supplies. But it was meant to raise awareness for the shelter because we're hidden and people aren't aware of the fact that we just celebrated 50 years and we needed to raise that awareness and raise money at the same time. It also gives people who don't want to adopt a pet a way to help without also having to donate money. It's just another way to recycle goods. Everybody has too much stuff and it's easy to donate your things to us. We resell it and then we send the money back to the shelter.
You have a full-time job though, right?
I do.
Where do you work?
I work in Durham at the Forest of Duke, which is caring for two-legged people instead of four-legged pets.
I understand that you do a lot of work on all the fundraising events for Paws Forever and that you even were quite active at Hog Day. What did you do there?
Hog Day, we set up a booth with as much information as we could share. We took Bubba Gump, one of our shelter dogs, who loves people and loves kids, and just try to share the information because both our shelter and our store are kind of hidden, so we really have to get out in the community and talk to people.
Obviously, Max Harrell loves animals, and she goes over and above the call of duty, helping out Paws Forever. She thinks this is exactly what she ought to be doing.
I think most of us have, at some point in our lives, said, "What is God's will for my life?" And when I started doing this, I said, maybe this is it. That's why I've continued to do this.
I want to thank you, Max, for all you do on behalf of the animals and on behalf of everybody in Orange County, because you make this community a better place in which to live.
Well, all I'm doing is a little piece, so anybody listening that wants to do a little piece, we need volunteers all the time.
How do folks get in touch with you?
All the volunteer opportunities are on the website, pawsforever.org, and they can just go to the volunteer tab and fill in the information. We just appreciate any time you can give, whether that's doing an event or whether that's working at the resale store. You know, if you've got a skill, we can probably use you somewhere.
Thanks to Cindy Myhawk for the nomination. Max Harrell is today's WCHL Hometown Hero.
Performance Automall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Automall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Automall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
It's time to jump on board with the Carolina Railhawks professional soccer team. This is Dean Linke, and fresh off an impressive 2-0 win over MLS champion LA Galaxy, the Railhawks move on in the U.S. Open Cup and will take on Major League Soccer's Tevis USA Wednesday, June 12th at 7 p.m. for a spot in the quarterfinals. It's the Railhawks and Tevis USA Wednesday, June 12th at Wakemed Soccer Park in Cary. Tickets are going fast. Be a part of history. Call 919-459-8144 or order online at CarolinaRailhawks.com.
Congratulations, Linda Lewis, who called in with the word of the day on WCHL. Actually, two words. It's Van Dyke, V-A-N-D-Y-K-E. It means a short, pointed beard. Thank you so much, Linda Lewis. She gets a $10 gift card to Cruisers. And the word of the day every day, about 10 minutes until 8 o'clock, right here on WCHL. Hey, once again, congratulations to the Tar Heel baseball team going to the College World Series in Omaha. Whenever the Tar Heels play, you can hear it right here.
Local news all day, breaking news whenever it happens. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
9 o'clock.
And now, CBS News, presented by the Town of Chapel Hill Economic Development, where commerce plus social equity plus environmental stewardship.